Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 178 of Getting It Out podcast. That was Scattered Storm. The song was called Eon Flux, and it's off their debut EP, Oblivion, coming out July 9th. Courtesy of Blood Blast Distribution, which of course is powered by Nuclear Blast. These guys are a band that formed back in 2019 from El Paso, Texas. Features ex-members of Pissing Razors. Now, either you hear the name Pissing Razors and you're like, oh, cool. Or you're like, oh, no thanks. But I think in this case, I went, oh, cool. And I do like what I heard from Scattered Storm on this song. So if you're interested in hearing more, like I said, be on the lookout for their debut EP, Oblivion, due out July 9th. Okay, so what's happening on this episode of the podcast? Well, I'm happy to tell you, I have an interview with Jeff Yancey of Love is Red. Love is Red? Yeah, Love is Red, the band from back in the early 2000s that had that one record on Stillborn Records, The Hardest Fight. You remember that? I do. I remember it very well. I was a big fan of this band, and it turns out I still am. They were gone, but now they're back. For how long? I don't know. We'll see. But we're going to talk all about that, and Jeff's going to fill us in on how this happened, and where they're coming from, and why they're doing it, and all the good stuff. All the stuff that you've been begging to know. I got the answers. Well, I don't got the answers. I got the answers for you. How about that? And I'm going to let you hear them. But first, Hot Zone.
Yeah, what's good, all you bitches and bitchettes? It's the illustrious Hot Zone, back at it again with another podcast intro. He said, oh, you want to do a podcast intro for the Getting It Out podcast? He said, oh, shit, I got to write a rap first, don't I? He said, no, you don't got to write a rap first. It's a hardcore podcast. He said, all right, I think I can maybe make that happen. Let's see what we can do. Kick it. Make family out of friends. Make friends out of enemies. Peace to my family. Make friends till they bury me. All the places we've been. We're never sitting it out. We be getting it in. Where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been. We're never sitting it out. We'll be getting it in. Where you getting it out? Motherfuckers, you're in the right place at the right time. Rest in peace, Jay Money, and LFTW forever.
Hello, everyone, and happy belated Father's Day. I hope you didn't go on social media and read Happy Father's Day posts, because they're usually pretty awful. They usually go something like this. Happy Father's Day to all the dads that actually have a hand in raising their kids and aren't just sperm donors. Or they capitalize fathers, you know, because so we know what they mean. I've seen this my whole life, and it's always been very odd. As someone who didn't necessarily have a great relationship, or doesn't necessarily have a great relationship with his dad, I don't understand this animosity, this spitefulness that other people feel the need to post about on social media. It's and then like there's this whole qualifying situation, like it's only Happy Father's Day if you met my qualifications. So we could do that, but I'm suggesting if we do that, then we start making qualifying statements regarding all of the holidays. Like Christmas will only be for people who actually believe in Christ, and Mother's Day obviously Mother's Day has to have the same set of standards as Father's Day. So sorry, dog moms, you're out. You don't get to celebrate anymore. Happy Easter, but only if you believe in Christ and that he came back from the dead. Enough with the bunny and the egg shit. We can't do that anymore. And you know what? No more fireworks on 4th of July. Unless you wave that flag 24/7 and know all the words to a particular Toby Keith song, I don't think you're allowed to celebrate 4th of July anymore. I'm all for saying fuck you to the deadbeat dads out there, but for Father's Day, it just seems like everyone gets on their ridiculous soapbox and tells us and like really zeroes in on who should be celebrating this holiday. But I gotta tell you, I get annoyed the same way as people who like shame people for having a barbecue on Memorial Day. Like, you're not honoring the soldiers correctly unless you're honoring the soldiers as you have your barbecue. Then you shouldn't get to do it. You got to do it correctly. So I'm taking back happy any holidays to anybody. You're not allowed to enjoy them anymore. You don't deserve it, and maybe you do, but you know. Well, we're just gonna make blanket statements. None of you deserve these holidays. So let's move on with our week, and we'll start that by doing an interview with a fellow father himself, Jeff Yancey. Of Love is Red. I was a big Love is Red fan when they were out and popping. We talked about that a little bit. I caught them on an early tour and picked up their demo. And when they came back around now, I was like, oh shit, that's cool. They were going to play Furnace Fest last year. And then that got, of course, postponed. And then I was surprised when out popped a new EP, Darkness is Waiting, which is now on Bandcamp. You can go find that. But we're going to talk all about that. But before we do that, let's play a song from Darkness is Waiting. This one is called Shallow Graves. Check it out.
Shallow Graves. going on?
I can. You sound great.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I'm in an office in our carriage house back behind my house, so not sure how the service is back here.
A carriage house? That's very fancy.
Yeah, it's the. I live in Richmond, Virginia, and we have very old houses that have like these weird, like kind of garages. I don't know. It's weird.
It's interesting you said you're in Richmond because I was hoping you would say you're in Florence, even though because I know that's the roots of Love Is Red, right?
It is.
So, well, that's where my stepdaughter is right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. She's visiting her friend.
Living there? Or?
No, she's visiting her friend who moved from Lancaster, PA to Florence. Indian Springs, I want to say, is the name of the area. Does that sound right? Do you know?
Maybe. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, so there's no members of Love Is Red currently live in Florence.
But that's anymore. Where it starts, right?
It is where it started. So they all started now. I think maybe Kinsman, the original bass player, might be the only one left there. And he's never there. He's like doing some crazy, some like DJ tour stuff. but yeah, so they all moved to Nashville where most of us were living at the time. And, now we're everywhere in this country. Like Roger is in Seattle. Hunter is in Detroit or Ann Arbor, I guess. I'm in Richmond, Virginia, and Kyle and Adam are back in Nashville.
So no Alabama residents at this point.
None.
All right. So because I feel like they made it out. I feel like recently I've been talking to, or I mean, like over the last year, I feel like I've been talking to a lot of people from. First of all, a lot of people from Tennessee, specifically Nashville. But then there's been like random Arkansas. The guy I was talking to from Georgia last week is actually from Arkansas, and whatever. There's somebody from Alabama, and I want to say maybe I was talking to I forget his name from Yalcha, and we were talking. Love Is Red came up as an Alabama band, and but I guess it's not really true at this point. Can't claim it anymore.
Not anymore. So yeah, not since like I don't know 2001, very early on.
So, that's pretty early, yeah.
All right. I would say we're more of a Nashville band than anyone anywhere, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, and now I mean we're just everywhere.
Well, good. Well,
we moved on.
Well, back then, and by the way, we're pretty much started here.
okay.
Yeah. So, back then, when you say 2001, 2002, I think that's when Love Is Red first comes on my radar because I believe that's when I caught you guys on tour. With Honor. Does that sound like the right time period?
Was that Embrace the Day with Honor tour?
No. The only other bands I can think of that I remember being on the flyer were Paid in Blood, which is not a band I remember at all.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were from Atlanta, yeah. So, and that was actually, I think that With Honor just played one show on that tour. And that's where we kind of met those guys. We were on tour with Paid in Blood from Atlanta, who members went on to be in Instilled. I don't know if you're...
Yeah, I know Instilled, yeah.
Event. So, and then, which also went on to be like Foundation.
Right.
Some of those guys. So that was Paid in Blood. That was 2000, I think early 2003.
Okay, that would make sense because I was still in high school and I graduated 2003. So that would have been close. But that's funny that was the only tour... That wasn't a tour with Honor. That just happened to be a show. I always thought that was a tour back then. It was a random place in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. A few months later, we did end up doing a U.S. tour with Honor and Embrace Today.
Nice. Yeah, okay.
The Edge Across America tour. So, but yeah, those guys were great. They just announced that they're doing a reunion show as well, or like a show in Connecticut with Honor.
So they're just copying you guys then, right?
Yeah.
That's what we can say. Motherfuckers.
Yeah, I know. What the hell?
All right. So, Jeff, well, first, I should have said this at the beginning, but thanks for letting me reschedule this with you. And this works for me now. And you've been super accommodating with this, so I appreciate that.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, anytime.
Well, like I said, when this one came across, I was like, hell yeah, love it. Because I've been following like you guys Instagram. Once I saw you were playing Furnace Fest, I was like, well, is this You know, I guess I saw it evolve in actual real time because it was just originally going to be a show, right?
Yeah, it's kind of weird how it came out. I mean, when Furnace Fest got announced, some of us were just had just recently started this, like, I don't know, a group text just with some of our friends, and we kind of just started talking about things. And then I guess Hunter, our singer, used to help book Furnace Fest. I think he did 2002 Furnace Fest and booked most of the festival for them. So they were friends, and some people were hitting them up about trying to get us to play, and he hit him up, and some of the guys were pretty reluctant to do it, and at first I was, and then Avell actually said that they were going to play, and I was like, I'm in. But of course they're not playing now. And then it kind of blossomed from there. We wanted to play a Nashville show if we were going to be there, our hometown show. So we started working on that, and that became a even crazier show than Furnace Fest. Sold out in less than 2 days. We weren't expecting that, and and then things just kind of blossomed from there, just out of a kind of joke text.
Well, that's that, and you're referring to that Terror Comeback Kid Misery Signals show, right?
Yeah.
Which is funny because that's very your time period too.
Right, and all those guys were friends of ours, and we toured with Figure Four for a tour. We did a tour with Misery Signals and Bury Your Dead. So some of the guys kept in touch with them, and when we decided to do a Nashville show, Comeback Kid was actually going to be playing a different show in Nashville, and we came up with this idea to just add them onto our show and move it to a bigger location and just make it a party.
Yeah,
and Terror was touring across the U.S. with the other bands, Dare, One Step Closer, and Dream, and we hit them up and like, hey, come play the show, and they were all about it. And then I wanted to bring some friends from Richmond, MAD.
Hell yeah, they're awesome.
So I hit those guys up, and I was like, hey, come play it. And they were like, fuck yeah. And yeah, so I'm really stoked. I think I'm more excited about that show than the festival.
Well, I like that you said that, because, and sorry to interrupt you, because that particular show, like you mentioned, it incorporates a few different bands from a couple different, I don't be a little dramatic and say eras, but you have, like you said, Mutually Assured Destruction, who's relative, pretty damn new band, despite what despite having a 7-inch and 10-inch out there, but that shit's great. You have, like you said, Terror, who are going to go down as legends of, you know, the genre. And then you mix it up a little bit with Misery Signals. You got you guys in there. You got Comeback Kid, Drain, right? Or was it Dare? Sorry. Which one is it? Dare or Drain?
Both of them.
Oh shit. So, okay. And then you throw in Hollywood too, who I only vaguely remember Hollywood, but I know that's a Nashville thing.
Yeah. They were friends of ours in Nashville. They, when we played a show, we did a kind of a one off, supposed to be a official final show, reunion show in 2010. And they had been broken up too. And, they were always friends of ours. And, they jumped on that and played that show as well. So, they wanted to do it this time as well. And so we brought them on. They were kind of in that Suicide File sort of
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember seeing them on a tour with like Sinking Ships or something. And in whatever, I guess it would be mid to late 2000s. We used to have this great venue in central Pennsylvania called Championship. Not the same one I remember seeing Love Is Red at. Love Is Red was at The Wire, but Championship was this great venue we had here for so long. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it was all constant, especially during that era, constantly seeing bands from all over. But so I think we got a little ahead of ourselves here with talking about Love Is Red and what you guys are doing right now. But for first of all, I've been instructed to call you, not call you by your name, Jeff. I've been told I'm supposed to call you Yucky. Yucky Yancey, does that sound right?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Roger said that, huh?
I don't know who said it, but, you know, I just got instructions, so.
Yeah. You can call me whatever.
No. We'll stick with Jeff.
Most people call me Yancey. That's my last name. All my friends do. That's a joke of Rogers.
Well, I will give nobody credit. I just say I thought of it on my own. But anyway, where have you been as far as musically since the last time Love Was Red was around? And I guess you mentioned you did that show that was supposed to be a final show in 2010. Since 2010, what have you been involved in personally?
Since 2010, since the band broke. Timeline's kind of weird, but
give me whatever timeline you want. Yeah,
I played bass. I never recorded with them, but I played bass on a few tours with Brace War from Richmond.
Okay, I can see that 7-inch from where I sit. The first one, I see it right there on my shelf. It's an odd facing out.
Holds up.
Yeah, it does. I played it recently. That must be why it's sitting like that.
That's funny. So I did a few tours with them. I feel like we played Championship.
Oh, several times. If you're in Brace War, you play there all the time.
Yeah. I played what was supposed to be an ongoing thing with Cast Aside. Played bass on one show. We ended up just not doing it anymore, and then people moved on with their lives from that.
Right.
In Richmond. Then I started touring with bands for a while. I just started rodeoing with that band Throwdown from Orange County.
Sure, yeah.
And Soil Work from Sweden. And that was my life for a few years. And then kind of gave it up.
Got married. Were you doing tour manager stuff?
I kid. Well, I was doing merch and a little teching.
Gotcha.
So just whatever was needed. So it's been a couple of years with Throwdown. In the later years, did Warped Tour a couple of years, and then a Machine Head tour with them, which was freaking awesome.
Hell yeah, Machine Head. I love Machine Head so much, and I could probably go on for a while about how they don't get enough credit from like every genre. Every genre owes a little something to Machine Head, and they took a little something from every genre too. I love that fucking band. Anyway, we don't need to go off on Machine Head, but So at some point, you guys, like you mentioned, you guys do that reunion. But you were kind of in music, but you mentioned you got married. And you did you yourself like? And I don't mean this in a negative way because I say it about myself. Kind of drop out of hardcore and just being a part, an active member of the scene.
As far as playing music, yeah, but I mean, I still support, go shows, buy records, all that. Stuff, so still have the same friends hang out. Not on the scale as I did when I was a kid.
Right.
I mean, when I was younger, obviously I have my son 6 years old, and that's been the most rewarding and most challenging thing of my life. But I don't travel as much anymore, but yeah, I mean, I also went to Europe with Down to Nothing, I don't know.
Well, you lucked out by being in one of the hotbeds too. I mean, Richmond is well known as being one of I'd say currently one of the best places in the United States for sure.
Oh yeah, still. I mean, I moved here in 2006 and never looked back. It was just always kind of the second home. A lot of my friends were here, the shows here are still insane, and hardcore is still very much, very much alive here. So, a lot of younger bands that have come up through here it's been really fun watching them grow and kind of take over this little thing we have. So, but yeah, I mean, I still definitely support that stuff. Don't play as much though.
Right.
This could be the first, actually. Since we started, since we announced these shows, as the first time I picked up a bass since, I think, the last time I did a Brace War tour in like 2013 or something, 2012.
That's almost a decade. That's pretty good. Did it come back like you hoped it would, or was it tougher than you thought?
A little bit. I had to relearn a few things, but I still got it. My job is to jump around on stage a lot. act like an idiot.
Right, you got to keep that energy
anyway,
up.
So I'm the bass player. Our bass stuff is not super crazy, so it's pretty easy.
You know, so I recorded two records, and the first one that I recorded, the thing that took long the first time was the bass, because our bassist just would not be boxed in. He would not play the root notes, and it became this giant argument between the guitar players and the bassist about how they were trying to box him in and just make him play the root notes, and I'll never forget it. And that's all I can think about anytime anybody talks about playing bass, is that you're just supposed to play the root notes and be the energy guy. And you sounds like that's what you're doing.
That's right. I don't need any of that other stuff. So, yeah. I mean, the other stuff's good. I mean, like a band like Trapped Under Ice or something that is really bass-driven. And even Brace War had a lot of bass-driven stuff that a lot of those songs were written on the bass and then translated to guitar.
Yeah.
So I had to... they weren't necessarily hard songs, but I had to concentrate more on that stuff. But the stuff I can just run around, probably not anymore. I don't know. I'm getting old.
That's all right. You know, it doesn't, everybody's got, especially now, everybody's got the built-in COVID excuse at this point. So you can go out there and be flat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can be flat or you can be wild. And you can blame COVID on either one. You can suck. It doesn't matter. Everybody's got it now. It's a built-in.
Right.
So this went from you guys were going to play a fest last year to now you're playing this really cool show. I guess what it's called, a show, a pre-show. But then you also decided to record a new EP. That I didn't see that coming until you guys started posting pictures from the studio. Where the fuck did that come from?
That was another thing. Roger was... He lives in Seattle, and he's been recording and doing music the whole time. He's got some metal bands and all kinds of bands. And he just sent us some songs. He's like, hey, I'm in the studio with this new band that I'm doing and have these songs. We should do an EP. And sent them to some of us, and we listened to them, gave him some feedback. And Hunter wanted more mosh. And I wanted more of the punk stuff. That's my thing. It's like the fast melodic punk stuff. And he tweaked a little bit and sent it to us, and we just kept doing that for a while. And then he went back in the studio and was like, "Well, hey, here it is. let's do it." And then everybody kind of did their part, and we decided to bring like Kinsmen back to do some stuff. Rob, the original singer, to do some stuff, and it just kind of came, and we're like, we're not an active band. We'll just have everybody we want to play on it and do things, and it actually turned out to be my favorite thing that the band has ever done.
Well, that's very cool. Who would you say is actually in the band at this point, or is it just the way it is? It's kind of a community at this point, where it's just whoever we want to be.
I think, well, on the EP, we just wanted to kind of do that, since it's not really an active band, but the band is the final lineup, the Hardest Fight lineup. It's me, Hunter, Roger, Adam, and Kyle. So, but yeah, that is, but we consider everyone that's ever touched the, you know,
yeah,
been in the band, a part of it, integral part. But the guys that are playing the shows and everything, and if we ever did anything else, are those five guys.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah. Adam and Kyle were a little bit of a harder sell to do it. Adam's a pro fisher.
A pro?
I don't know what you call those guys.
A fisherman.
Angler, maybe.
An
yeah,
he competes
in all those tournaments and sponsored by these like weird hooks and boats and stuff.
So I love how awkwardly you're explaining this. I love how awkwardly you're explaining a pro fisherman, an angler. Sounds like
angler.
A guy who's good at triangles. I think so.
and then Kyle, he owns a kickboxing gym in Nashville that's pretty successful and. So we weren't sure that either one of them were going to be able to do it. We were going to have some friends do it or not do it at all. So, but they're both down 100% in, and so that's the band. So
that's awesome. The Hardest Fight. I love that record. I liked it. I gotta say I came along. Well, I guess like I told you, I came along. Discovered you guys back on tour when you were on tour in early 2000s. So, which is weird to say now because it's not like I found. I didn't even. It was that like predates MySpace, right? I didn't even find you on MySpace or any of that stuff. It was back when you would actually just find a band by going to see some random fucking band on a flyer. And and I remember picking up the Love Is Red demo that I still have. It's a Dixie Hardcore on. And it came with it's just a folded up 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper with some lyrics on the inside. Most of those songs, I think maybe all of them, I don't know. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Ended up being on The Hardest Fight, and then that was it.
I think we changed them up a little bit.
Yeah, but, I think they sounded different. But my point is, there was the songs on that demo. There was the songs on The Hardest Fight. I got to see you guys a couple times touring. I want to say maybe since The Flood or something like that, a tour with them. I don't know. I don't remember exactly. But then it seemed like you guys just disappeared. What happened to the band back then? I know you did plenty. I'm saying from my perspective.
Shitload back then. And it just kind of, some people were starting to get a little burnt out. I mean, we were on the road 10 months out of the year for a few years straight and pretty young. And it's kind of like one of those families where you just start fighting all the time. You're cramped in a van. A couple of the guys just didn't get along too well. And then I think the final tour we did was with Hatebreed and Agnostic Front, which was incredible. I mean, every show was at like House of Blues, and it was huge. And but at the same time, myself included, we're not really into that style of touring on that caliber, where it was 20-foot barricades. If we touched the other band's gear, or if someone stage diving touched one of the other band's gear, we would be kicked off the tour. And dealing with that stuff, it wasn't really. What I wanted, granted, I wasn't about to quit. We had just signed a record deal with Century Media, actually, right before we broke up.
Oh, really?
And we were starting to write for that, and then things just fell apart, and I ended up moving to Chicago, chasing after a girl that didn't work out, and Hunter ended up doing his thing in Atlanta, and everybody moved away, and the band just became way too hard to do with people live back then with people living on opposite sides of the country, and
of course. What year would that have been?
That was 2005. So we did the two Heavyweights of Hardcore tours. The one in 2004 and 2005 with Hatebreed. The second one was like Agnostic Front, Diecast, and I can't remember who else in us. And that was January of 2005. And so it's kind of short lived, but yeah.
It was.
That's kind of
my point, is that it seemed short lived, and I guess it was. And I think it seemed even more so because we weren't fucking with the internet then we are now. Like, it was just like, Love Is a Red was on everything, and now they're just not here anymore. And then you never heard anything.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like The Hardest Fight happened, and I felt fortunate that I had the demo. And that was it, you know? And
we had huge stuff coming up, too.
Tell me about the Century Media thing. Once you sign that shit, when you come back now, they're not like, hey, you owe us?
No.
No?
It was Central Media Abacus.
And that's like gone.
And that's gone, yeah. And it's been 15 years. I don't think that they haven't.
Watch them, they're lurking. Us. They're lurking with their calculators.
So, yeah, they're like, wait, this band that sold. They didn't do anything for. They weren't going to do anything for us. No way. Who knows? But and actually, a very close friend of ours was working there at the time, and he's the one that kind of inked that deal for us. So I talked to him, and he was. I mean, it was cool. We hadn't taken any money from him or anything. So
right.
Not really anything they could do. So what sucked was right before Agnostic Front had called Hunter and offered us a 6-week bus tour doing festivals and stuff in Europe with them. And we were young and none of us had passports. And it was literally, we had 2 weeks to get ready for the show or for the tour. And
I couldn't do that now as a full-blown, like, responsible adult. I couldn't do that.
Yeah, I was broke as shit. I couldn't do that. I was like, man, I want to, but I can't afford a plane ticket. We had no merch over there. We had no, I mean, Stillborn didn't have any distribution over there. It would have been cool. I mean, I can't imagine, like, you know, that band's enormous over there, but we were just too young and dumb and broke. Didn't know what we were doing. So, and then that was it.
Who made, does when you say Agnostic Front calls Hunter, just for my own imagination, is that like Vinny Stigma on the phone? Is
Roger.
Roger's doing the actual business for the band.
He called him.
That's awesome.
It's crazy. I was like, holy shit, we've got to do this. Yeah. And yeah, I just couldn't work that one out. And then all of a sudden, Room Meals Fly, and then we break up, and yeah, that's that.
So that was that, but that's back then. So now we're talking 16 years ago, right? Something like that, 15,
yeah.
16 years ago. And then now you're back. You're going to play a couple shows, at least a couple. And you have this new EP, which I don't think we mentioned, is called Darkness is Waiting, right?
Yeah.
And initially, as soon as I loaded up this Bandcamp page to check out these songs, the artwork was pretty obvious. And if it's not intentional, I don't know how the fuck anybody didn't notice this. But this is obvious, obviously has to do with the last record, right? Or it's, yeah. Like, so what's, so tell me about that. Tell me about the artwork from The Hardest Fight to the artwork on Darkness is Waiting.
Well, the Darkness is Waiting EP, my friend Jason Mazzola from Richmond, Count Me Out fame, he did the artwork and we were talking, and the whole premise of this is we're actually, I don't know if this has ever been released, but we're releasing the vinyl version of The Hardest Fight for the first time.
Oh, that's very cool.
And this EP is going to be on the B side, or on the second side of the of that. So we wanted, I talked to Jason and we wanted to change the artwork up, but make it to where it was still The Hardest Fight, you know?
Right.
And so we were sending back ideas and he came up with that and like, this is sick. Let's do it. And so that's what it was. It is The Hardest Fight continuation. So that vinyl is supposed to be out, I think, in August or September. It's at the pressing plant right now. So, and we're only doing a limited quantity of those, and it's for the shows, basically. I think we'll do some online stuff as well, but...
Yeah, you should, because yeah. I'm not going to those shows. But...
But the, I'll save you one.
There you go. But that's very cool. Is that through a label, or are you guys just doing this on your own?
We decided to do it on our own. This label, Over and Out Recording,
yeah, sure.
Out of Detroit. Yeah. He helped us out a lot on it, actually, and was, and may end up doing a second press. Kind of been talking to him about that, but he had hit us up wanting to put it out. And we had already funded everything, so we decided to just go ahead and release it ourselves. And then anything that doesn't sell, he'll distro it, and then may do a different version or something online. So, yeah, we decided just to do it ourselves. It's not like we're a really super active band.
Right.
And just didn't want to be tied to any label. And we figured we could recoup any money that we spend on it through doing it ourselves. So
that's true. And that's very cool. And That guy, what's his, is his name Brendan?
Brendan.
Maybe Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's I've noticed that label doing a lot of reissues from that era, not necessarily that era, but you know, and I think it's a cool look. I saw him just put something up the other day from a band called Let It Die, who I didn't think anybody gave a shit about the band Let It Die, but anyway, I appreciate what's happening there, and like this is one of those records from. The Hardest Fight is one of those records from that era where I think we were all buying CDs at the time. And I think there's a lot of shit in there that never got an actual vinyl treatment that it'll be cool.
Yeah, it sucked because we wanted to do vinyl, but you know we were on Stillborn.
Yeah, they're not doing it.
They put it out, and at that time, Jamie just didn't want to do any vinyl anymore at all.
No, you can't play vinyl on active rock radio. Sorry, that's
right.
You know what I'm saying. But I don't think anything on Stillborn back then was getting released on record. You had to be that early Push Button Warfare or Candiria, that stuff that was out in Stillborn Records.
Right.
So that's very cool to hear that the CP is part of a reissue of The Hardest Fight. I had no idea about any of that. And that answers a lot of the questions I was going to say about or ask you about a running theme between the two. Is there anything that's a running theme between the EP and that record other than the artwork? Because to me, the set, you guys kind of, I listened to The Hardest Fight today and then Darkness Is Waiting. And it almost sounds the same. Not, I don't mean the writing. I mean, like, the production almost sounds the same. I listened to two different things, all right? So give me a break. It's not, I'm not saying it's exact. But it flowed pretty well. Is any of this intentional?
I mean, we try to make it not sound like just a shitty new demo, you know? The Hardest Fight was recorded at a professional, like, big-ass studio in Birmingham, Synchro Mesh Studios, and that guy did like production on like Creed Records or something. And then we just got lucky and wanted this to sound good as well. And it's funny because it was recorded in like four different studios, some in Richmond, some in Birmingham or in Alabama, some in Seattle, and some in Detroit. And then I think the Derek, who was the main engineer, he did his work up in Seattle and made it sound sick. And yeah, I thought the same thing. I was surprised how good it turned out. And then Brad Boatwright did his magic on it.
Audio Siege, right?
Audio Siege. And we're all huge fans of everything that dude has touched, pretty much, from Master Dre, everything that he's been a part of. And so we were stoked when he agreed to master this, and he made it sound kind of evil, but in a melodic way and good.
Well, Brad Boatwright and Audio Seeds from Ashes Rise, that's pretty local now, right? Well, I guess, I don't know. You guys, it's hard to say anything's local for Love Is Red.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's up in Portland now, or in that area.
Well, he's local to the Seattle guy then, so you got... my point being is that it's like that guy, guys like him, but specifically him, have their hand on so many records, and I understand it's just mastering usually, but I don't know how how fucking quickly does he turn these things around that he's able to like have his fingerprint on everything like that. It's amazing.
He did this in a couple of weeks. I was surprised because I think the Audio Seeds is pretty sought after.
Yeah.
But maybe this whole COVID thing slowed recording down. I don't know. And maybe it freed some time up. But
was recording at all a challenge for you personally?
No, because I have a friend and that has a studio here, Sam Dyerly, and
the home of Forum of Passion podcast.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. I talked to him and Ace for an episode.
Nice. So, yeah. I love those guys. So, all those guys. Sam rules though, and So no, I mean this whole thing just there was no time restraints or anything other than we just wanted it out before these shows, so there was no pressure. So everything was just easy.
Do you feel like, in a way, well, all right, I'll say this for myself first. So if you were to say it, it doesn't sound as bad. I have totally benefited from the pandemic in like several different ways. It seems like Love is Red has benefited for that. I don't know about you personally, but do you feel like it's made this reunion more fun and added a whole nother layer to it that you weren't going to do otherwise?
I think so. I mean, again, like you, I feel weird saying it, but I've had it pretty good.
Yeah.
This whole time.
Likewise.
I haven't worked from home or anything. I've been out in the field in my job.
I have.
We never shut down.
They just told me today that we're going to start transitioning.
Oh,
and
really?
I'm like a spoiled brat about it. Like, this is the greatest thing ever. Why would we end this? But I have to accept it. You know. But anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I never got to experience that.
Oh, it's amazing.
More of a blue collar style field that I'm in. But we've never shut down. But our company grew and grew and grew during this. And I definitely got some benefits out of it.
Yeah.
But my wife, she's about to have to go. I think that they may start possibly, they're talking about transitioning back as well to her office and at least a couple of days a week. But I mean, we have definitely, other than, you know, childcare for a little bit when the school's closing down.
Right,
other than that, it's been pretty good. But Love is Red is also, yeah, I mean, I don't think the shows would be as hyped if it weren't for this and this EP. I don't know. People may or may not have cared, you know. I think people have been searching for something, some sort of happiness, and even though the lyrics are pretty damn dark on this.
An excessive use of the F word, which of course I'm fine with, but I was reading the lyrics, and I was like, it's spelled out fucking, like every fourth word.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, that's another change from The Hardest Fight, where there's like no cuss words on it. Yeah, I think that there was some depression in the lyrics, and just the whole year with the social injustices. Well, that's been going on for many, many years, but you know, it reached a peak in the last year, and then with the COVID stuff, and just in the punk and metal and hardcore world, all the losses in that really inspired a lot of the lyrics in this. Out on the CP, and it took it to a dark place, but definitely a lot of the word fucked.
Well, how do you
turn it down a little bit?
Yeah, we're trying to, my kids can't listen to Love is Red anymore. I'm just kidding, I would never put it through that, but how do you feel like I don't know. You've stayed involved in hardcore for the most part, but how do you feel that hardcore has changed in the time that Love is Red was around to now? Like, I know that could be loaded or not, I guess, depending on your opinion, but how do you feel like things have shifted? There's obviously sounds that have come and gone. You know, it goes in circles, but there's like, I guess I'll set this up a little more. Like, to me, there's like a, I don't even know how to explain it correctly. Maybe I can't set it up more, but it's to me, it's just so different from the early 2000s to now.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like the same thing at all. The music might sound similar.
Yeah. It's definitely changed in ways. There's a lot of stuff that happened in the early 2000s you would not get away with now. That's for sure.
For sure.
I mean,
yeah.
It's more. I guess it's back to more active and.
Do you feel it's changed for the better?
"Quote unquote safe" in some ways.
Sure. Okay.
I think the acceptance the perceived acceptance is better for a lot of people, but there's also not as much of the danger aspect that was a little bit of the fun part.
Yeah, I agree totally.
Not that it was necessarily a good part, but it was also kind of fun sometimes.
Yeah, like
if
you take like two things like from that era, like if you tell me that we can't have bands anymore, like Nothing Personal, Pit Boss, Backhand, Or whatever, like One Life Crew. I am totally cool with that as long as we get to keep the violent part. And I don't even mean that like in a tough guy way, just as in a like fun way. Like if we have to get rid of all this other like bad shit that was happening there, and we can keep the kind of danger that was with it, that's cool. I'm willing to make that trade.
Yeah. Exactly. There's definitely some sketchy stuff back in the day.
Oh, dude, I read some lyrics from some CDs that I have, and I cringe. And these are, and you know, you were around then. These are the guys that were beating up the racist guys too, but they were saying just like worse shit. Yeah, exactly. It's so ridiculous.
And just hanging out, you know, like these guys were the same people that are very outspoken. We're saying the shit that they were outspoken against, you know?
So, yeah.
But, I mean, it's a good thing. People should change and grow and learn.
For sure, yeah.
But, yeah.
I don't know.
It's still fun, though.
Absolutely. I totally agree. There's a little, maybe it's just, I don't want to say, like old man kind of syndrome, but there's a little bit like where I look at it, I'm like, oh, man, you want some more, and I hate even saying it because it doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound the way I want it to mean, but I hate that there's not the edge to it that used to be there. Like,
right.
I don't even know what that means, but I think you understand what I mean. Like, it doesn't exist. Like it's pretty soft, but the music still sounds good. Like, it still sounds good. Yeah. it's just very light handed. Yeah. Yes. But so now that you guys are doing the CP and playing these shows, and I know you mentioned it's not really a full-time thing at all, but what is the intention here? How far do you go with it from here?
Well, there's nothing planned at the moment outside of the stuff. I guess, I mean, we're all friends again.
Yeah.
There's a time where we weren't, and so it's kind of like if something cool that we were into came up, we would do it, but this is not a full-time thing. It's just, we're going to have fun with our friends, and that's it for now, but who knows? We'll see what comes up.
Right.
I know people have asked for stuff, and nothing's planned right now. I think that, you know, especially with Kyle, he's super slam busy with his gym. I think he just became the owner of it, and they just built a second one. And, we'll see. I don't know. That's all I know is we're playing these two shows, and there's three of us that talk the most, and basically us three are making a lot of the decisions on everything. And, I don't know, one of those guys wants it to be, like, a thing. He's like, let's go to Europe, let's do this, and, there's nothing planned like that right now.
That's fair enough. I imagine trying to make plans for the future right now in any band is a pain in the ass, especially one that's just doing some reunion shit at the moment. So I can't blame you for that.
I'm not trying to make a career out of it. We never were. I mean, we all have careers, and you know, we're just having fun. We're not trying to make do anything crazy. But we'll see. Who knows?
What do you think now, with all this hindsight you got and all this experience you have from touring with all sorts of other different bands and all sorts of different other capacities, what do you wish you would have done differently the first time around with Love Is Real?
I wish any of us had business sense at that time to make it work. There's a few tours that I could have done without, but I wish we had gone to Europe with Agnostic Front.
Yeah.
There's some decisions like that, maybe label decisions, and that's the biggest thing. Just wish we knew. We were a little bit smarter, and I was very broke back then. I didn't have a job. I was living off of 25 cents Little Debbie snacks and bags of Cheetos, you know?
Yeah, what's the go-to Little Debbie?
Back then, it was like Star Crunch.
Oh, Star Crunch is good. But that's, feel like as an adult, that would hurt my teeth, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I haven't had one of those probably since 2004.
But then that I say that out loud, and then I was about to say, but oatmeal cream pie would probably be my number one, but that would probably hurt my teeth too. I feel like everything would hurt my teeth Every Little Debbie.
Yeah, those were good. Now I cringe at the thought of any of that stuff.
Just like a pie of sugar?
The Little Debbie snacks. Of course, now they're like $1.50 or something. They're like not a quarter anymore, so not even worth it. But that was literally, I ate that and like spaghetti. Like we lived off of a couple dollars a day, like $5 per diems, you know?
Yeah.
And that was my money. I had nothing. Wish I was smarter about that. But
like going on tour on vacation time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was it. That was the best part, you know? I didn't care about making money at then. I was doing things for free and meeting people everywhere and playing really shitty shows and playing really cool shows. And that was all I thought I was ever going to do for the rest of my life. And then I became an adult a little bit, got some responsibilities. But yeah, man, I wish we knew what we were doing or had guidance. We made some dumb decisions. And
as you know, of course, that's everybody. So you're certainly not alone in that one. I don't think anybody's knocked it out of the park.
Like, yeah, all these young bands, I feel like, know what they're doing now. Maybe it's just easier. Like they're making so much money on the road and just living the life. But maybe their parents are helping them.
You know one thing that I've noticed, and I just noticed it pretty recently, and it should have been pretty obvious for a little while, though, is that a lot of these up-and-coming hardcore bands that kind of break it big and get the wind behind them and are doing fantastic, and I mean that in a good way, good for them, is that they're being helped by people who were in the hardcore scene or still are, but are at elevated positions now, like within these labels.
Right.
I've seen it on a couple different instances where it's like, oh, all right, well, there's a couple guys in on this label here and they're going to get you signed to that and they're going to get you, and that just being there gets you this and this, and all it takes is that in, you know, the way it's always been, this is the way it's always been in hardcore, is it's not who you are, it's who you know, of course.
Right.
And once there's a little person infiltrated the system here, you know, then that one can bring up the next one. And I don't know that exactly existed back when you guys were on the come up. Maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to be
maybe
prevalent now. You just didn't know.
It did, but like back then, if you were from Tennessee, like you didn't get as much like Nashville back in the early 2000s and in the 90s. But we had awesome bands, and all growing up through my teenage life, I was going to shows. But Nashville never got that respect on the map, or it was just like one of those cities. If you're a band from there, you had to work really hard to like prove yourself.
Right.
Unless you were like, you know, country or whatever, some other thing. But I don't think anyone takes a band from at that time, from a hardcore band, like, what the hell is this?
The only hardcore band I can remember
Honky Tonk.
The only hardcore band I can remember from back then that people taking seriously from Tennessee was Clenched Fist, and maybe that's even early for them. But that's something that I brought it up earlier in our conversation, but that I find so interesting now, is that I feel like almost every time I talk to somebody now, when we're talking about hardcore or any, not even just hardcore. I mean, the last few episodes I've done have been all kind of all over the place as far as heavy music goes, and it feels like it's just that area. And all right, so I understand this also as a person from the Union, I'll say it, from Pennsylvania, from the North, I guess I can call that, the whatever. Yeah. Like I consider this, you know, I've got, my geography's terrible, so I think everybody's all like all you guys in the southern states are are so close to each other. I think like Richmond's right next to Tennessee. And then Leeds. I said Leeds. Why did I say Leeds? I said Leeds because Charles Barkley's from Leeds, and that's my idol. And that's the first thing I think about when I talk about Alabama. But anyway, my point is, I put you guys all in this little area, and it's not true. But anyway, there's so much shit coming out from there, and it's so consistent right now that's really impressive. And maybe I'm late to recognizing it, or maybe I'm right on time. But it seems like the area is flooding with new bands right now, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, we had like Teen Idols, who were like a Fat Records band back then, but more punk stuff. But yeah, now it seems like there's members of everyone that lives in Nashville. It's just a crazy city now, though. I don't know. All my family lives there, and I go every few years, and it's a big city. It's a bigger city every time I visit. And, yeah, it's weird. It's weird going back. It's going to be weird in September when I'm there. So I haven't been since my son was two, so it'd be cool to see how that scene is now.
It sounds like it's thriving, and it sounds like it's ready for it. And I think that's a good place for us. We kind of came full circle here and talking about that's a good place for us to probably wrap it up here, is that you're officially coming back, your official first show. What's the date for that?
That is September 23rd.
September 23rd, and that's with Terror, Comeback Kid, Misery Signals, Drain, Mutually Assured Destruction, Hollywood, and Dare, I think, as well. And that's already sold the fuck out, right, though? That's nobody else is getting it.
It sold out in like 36 hours. I was like, holy shit.
Well, then like two days later, you're doing Furnace Fest. I know everybody was looking forward to Furnace Fest before last year when it was, basically a nostalgia fest for a lot of people. But I think now it's kind of mutated into something else. But you're playing
a
couple days later on that one?
Yeah, we're playing Sunday. It's like with Killswitch Engage. I think, Face to Face is on it, which I'm really excited about on Sunday. I think Turnstile is playing Sunday, which is like the biggest band on the planet. it's like we're playing the heavy day. I think Hate Breed's on that day. So it'll be fun. I'm really excited. It'll be fun. It's just going to be fun seeing people I haven't seen since the early 2000s, really. Because a lot of those bands that we were touring with at the time, like With Honor, and they lasted a couple more years, but then they all broke up at the same time. I haven't seen a lot of those guys, so it'd be cool.
That's awesome. I hope it's as successful as you anticipate. I think it will be. Obviously, if it's getting that close to being sold out, it might as well be. Let's plug that EP one more time. Darkness Is Waiting. It's at this point only. This will be out on Monday, so I think still on Monday. It's only available on Bandcamp, right?
Right now, and then in July we'll be putting it on all the streaming services.
Well, don't tell them that. Don't tell them that. It's only ever going to be available on Bandcamp.
On Bandcamp, edit that out. You got the beep button.
Yeah.
And then in the fall, it'll be on the out on vinyl. So.
Awesome. Well, I guess we already...
And a very limited cassette tape.
Oh. Do you ever consider maybe just making those blank? I don't think people actually listen to them. I think you could just get away with making those blank.
It's just for a collection. I mean, I ask people, I'm like, hey, I need to borrow a tape player for a little bit and check this out. And nobody has them, so...
No.
But somehow they have a crap ton of tapes.
It's true. That's the way it goes. But hey, whatever. I'm all for people selling.
But we're not going to have any CDs. So CDs are out.
Oh, it's like the total opposite of what it was for you guys then.
I know. So I'm sure Still Born still has like the 5,000 CDs that got returned from their distribution.
They might. Who knows? But all right.
Actually, he sent me like 200 of them. So.
Did he really?
I'm sitting in my house. Yeah. Last year, before we even thought about this, putting it out on vinyl, I was like, hey, I need some CDs. Can I buy some? He was like, $20. I'll send you a box full. And it was like, I was thinking it was going to be one sleeve, like a 25 pack.
Yeah.
And it was about 200 CDs. All right.
Fair enough.
Cool.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, $20, Josta.
Oh man,
he had to have lost money on shipping those. So
that's very true. All right, shit, Jeff. Thank you for taking the time to have this conversation again. Thank you for being accommodating and dealing with my little shift I had to do last week.
I appreciate fine, man. That. Hope the family's good and everything. So cool. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
I'll.
All right, thanks, buddy. Take care.
All right, bye.
Later. So there you have it. That was my conversation with Jeff Yancey of Love Is Red. Their new EP, Darkness Is Waiting, is available now on Bandcamp. The song you just heard is called So Long. It is off of that EP. Go check it out and be on the lookout for that that full reissue of The Hardest Fight, including that EP, in the near future. Pick it up at one of those shows. If you're in the South, you got no reason not to go. I mean, you might have a reason, but I don't want to hear it. And if you're up here in the North like me, I'll accept any reason for not going down there. Anyway, got a lot of cool things happening here. We're getting it out in the near future. A couple cool interviews lined up, already finished and ready to go. Website's well on its way, as it should be, because it's been in progress for a year and a half, right? You know that. I know that. I've said it so many times now. Everybody knows that. You can follow me at Getting It Out, Getting underscore It underscore Out underscore Podcast on Instagram. Go check out the new Getting It Out playlist on Spotify. The link is in the bio on the Instagram, or you can just go to Spotify and type in Getting It Out playlist, and you will find that playlist. There's about 20 tracks on it this week. That's what I've been doing lately. 20 tracks of what I think is the best new music out right now. Sometimes I throw in an old track, but for the most part, it's new stuff. And there are always songs from upcoming guests. I always keep them in there. Upcoming and recent guests of the podcast. So if you're a little suspicious about what's to come, you can look in there and find out. Or you can join the Patreon. Go to patreon.com/gettingitoutpodcast. Join there and you will get a little insight on the upcoming guests as long as you sign up for this, the correct tier. And you'll also get automatic entry to Getting It Out Podcast contest. And there are Getting It Out Radio episodes that premiere on the Patreon usually for months in advance to when they get put on the regular feed. So a little incentive to do that. That's going to be it for this one, though. Hopefully by the time you hear this, the Philadelphia 76ers will finally beat the stupid Atlanta Hawks and have moved on to the Eastern Conference Finals against the stupid Milwaukee Bucks. But, you know, all sorts of stupid things can happen between now and then. It's 3 p.m. on Sunday, so game time doesn't start for 8 for 5 hours. So who knows what could happen. And they're prone to blowing leads lately. So a dumb Atlanta Hawks team might get by. Anyway, so let's go off of that. This has all been about the South lately. And this band is from Georgia itself. I'm going to end it with a track from Dying Whale. This song is called Destroyer of Light. It's off of their Problem with Immortality EP that's coming out on Nefarious Industries on June 25th. That's this Friday, if you can't keep up. Been around for a little while, but they're back in 2021. And that's it. So check them out. They're kind of all over the place, hard to pin down musically, but maybe you'll like it. I hope so. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.